Litcast Slovakia, the podcast about Slovak literature in English. Hello, welcome to Litcast Slovakia 24. My name is Julia Sherwood and I'm a translator based in London. Today, I'll be talking to Peter Petro, who is in Vancouver, Canada. Hello, Peter. Zdravím do Vancouveru.
A já vás zdravím.
Welcome, and let me introduce you briefly to our listeners. Peter Petro is a Slovak-born literature scholar and translator. After emigrating to Canada in 1968, he studied Russian and Spanish, gaining an MA in Russian literature and a PhD in comparative literature. In 1977, he was appointed to teach Russian language and literature in the Department of Slavic Studies at the University of British Columbia, later becoming chair of the program of Modern European Studies. Until his retirement in 2017, he taught Russian language and literature, as well as Slavic literatures in translation and comparative literature. He is the author of several books, including A History of Slovak Literature, published in 1995, and has translated books by Dominik Tatarka, Martin Milan Šimečka, Peter Pišťánek, and William Klimáček. So you grew up in Czechoslovakia, and in 1968 you emigrated with your wife and young son. And it's quite hard to imagine a place more different from Bratislava than Vancouver, where you have grown up. So I imagine that arriving there must have been quite a culture shock. Can you tell us how you ended up there, of all places, and what were your first days there like?
Well, first of all, we arrived from Vienna and we landed in Vancouver around 10:30 in the evening, where we were already expected by a lady from the immigration department, and she gave us some money and took us to our new home, which was actually something fantastic because it was quite close to the beach in the city itself and close to everywhere, and very convenient. And two families were placed in one large apartment, which was a two-bedroom apartment, but we shared the kitchen and the living room. So that was the beginning. And of course, the culture shock came possibly a little bit later, because within a couple of weeks I was already a university student. And 2-3 days later, while reading the newspaper, I found an ad where they were looking for a drummer, a well-established band which had a nice engagement in a downtown French restaurant, was looking for a drummer. So I phoned them, and in a few days I was playing there because their drummer was doing very well as the owner of a drum shop. Life went on. So maybe I was incredibly lucky, but it was a very smooth transition from Bratislava to Vancouver. And not a very shocking one, except for the natural beauty of this city and the incredibly friendly attitude of everyone we met. And that was casting rather a bad light on our native country, where people look at you as if you were some kind of a thief that comes to steal their whatever. Well, of course, now perhaps things changed a little bit, and people are a little bit more pleasant, but nothing like the goodness of Canadian people and their helpfulness, which was really touching. Everybody was offering their help in anything.
Well, you were lucky. It sounds like you had a remarkably smooth landing. So let's rewind a little bit. You mentioned the drumming, and so this is because in your final years in Czechoslovakia, you were a member of a rock band, and not just any old rock band, but it was the legendary Beatmen, who were universally regarded as the best rock band in the country in the 1960s, and kind of Slovakia's answer to the Beatles. I think we can play a little clip now. And I just wonder how you remember those heady days, and what was it like to be the object of hysterical adulation similar to Beatlemania?
Yes, well, what can one say? It was not unpleasant, I have to say. It was a lot of fun. But of course, we had no time. This is another thing that people don't realize. It didn't mean that when we finished playing, we were surrounded by these beautiful girls, and no, we were immediately whisked away to a hotel, and we had a dinner, and then we had to go to a different place again, and it was just a very rushed life. There was no place to meet many people, and so we were just overbooked, let's put it this way.
Peter Zusi, who teaches Slovak literature at School of Slavonic and East European Studies, University College London, was in a punk band in high school, and his band Capital Punishment is remembered mostly because the actor Ben Stiller was in it. And then your fellow Canadian Paul Wilson, one of the best translators of Czech literature into English, used to play with the legendary Plastic People of the Universe. So what's this mysterious link between rock bands and Slavonic studies?
Yes, I
And
liked your phrase, mysterious link. It's so mysterious that it baffles even me. And how can I explain it if it is mysterious? It is mysterious and will remain mysterious.
In 1995, you published A History of Slovak Literature, which is the first and to date, I think, the only comprehensive study devoted to what you called the perennial Cinderella of Central European literature.
Yes.
And in it, you bemoaned the fact that only a handful of good quality English translations of Slovak literary works were available. But since then, the situation has improved. Now we have about 20 works of fiction, several volumes of poetry, and a number of anthologies that have appeared in English, and quite a few of them in your translation. So, were you able to use some of these translated works to get your students interested in Slovak literature in the later years?
Well, at the time when I was teaching, and I left university a little bit earlier than the date you quoted, the only good books that I could recommend to my students in a course which dealt with Eastern European literature would be some translations of Czech authors, for example. And Kundera's Joke was a great book, and then of course I used this was not of course only a course on Czech literature or Slovak, it was Eastern European literature. So I had Gombrowicz's Ferdi Durke from 1937, Pornografia from 1960s, but then of course the best book of them would be Kundera's Joke. So what would be there in Slovak literature at that time that would be sort of a fitting complement to these three fantastic books? We didn't have anything like that, right? I retired 10 years ago in 1911, I think. On 2011, of course, 2011. Yeah, well, of course, I used Pisztianek's book in the last year in my class. I would tell students about Slovak writers, right? But it would be, they would have to depend on what I told them from my readings and my interpretations. And that's not the same thing as when you have a good translation and and you as a reader, you have your own reading, right? So we have to respect the reader's reading. And this was part of a very interesting experiences that I had, how students who were born in Canada reacted to the life from 1960s as depicted by some of these famous writers, let's say Kundera. Even the Kundera, of course, the action takes place much earlier in the sort of in the Stalinist time, right? So it wasn't really the case that I could easily supply them with the reading, because in Slovak literature there were no translations, and even the works that were being written at the time were not of the kind that that would be understood by my students. There is this big divide, a cultural divide, political divide. So when you teach East European literature, you have to spend a lot of time with the background, with the political and cultural background. And it's not an easy thing. It was rather a complex and a difficult matter, right?
Yes, I imagine it was, yes. But now, moving on from your teaching, and just looking at the translation and the authors you translated after Dominik Taterka, you translated Martin Milan Szymeczka's Year of the Frog, which won the Pegasus Prize for Literature. So can you tell us what was it about this book that attracted you?
Well, there was actually a competition to choose a translator for this book, because Szymeczka's work was considered to be rather remarkable, and they wanted to have someone who could really do a good job. So they zeroed in on three or four people who could translate from Czech and Slovak, and luckily I won that competition and translated that. And I think it was actually a good book to translate, that somehow it fit, and it was successful, and it won a literary prize for Szymeczka. And at that time they were nice enough to invite the translator to United States for the ceremony, the awarding of the prize, and it was a big event. And I think it was a very successful book for Milan Szymeczka, or Martin Szymeczka, rather. It was perhaps the most successful translation of mine, but the hardest at the same time, because of the milieu that the Szymeczka describes, right? And then it's very difficult to put yourself in the shoe of someone who lives in a communist country. Because if you live there, all these communist things are so obvious and easy for you, but not for the reader. For reader, this is for a translator, it's a minefield. You have to watch, like, will they understand what he means by that? So sometimes you have to include some kind of a very, very brief explanation, but do it in a way that it does not really harm the narrative, etc., etc. So I'm not complaining, of course. It was probably the best paid translation I ever done. So I was happy about that. And I think it was deservedly chosen, that book.
So, do you mean to say that translating Year of the Frog was more challenging or demanding than the trilogy by Peter Piszczanek, Rivers of Babylon?
Rivers of Babylon. It's a crazy happening. While Szymeczka is, of course, very logical. It's kind of it's it's uh, it it doesn't go into this kind of a surrealistic and crazy stuff that Pischanek went, right? Later on, when I met with Pischanek and became his good friend, we spent a lot of time together. But he is such an was such an original person. And only later, recently, I found out that he attempted suicide several times. And Pischanek's play of imagination, his incredible choice of characters who are absolutely unique, I would say, in Slovak literature or even Czech literature, it's something that it's difficult to put your finger on. This is why I was very happy that I managed to do the whole trilogy, and it wasn't easy, and perhaps the second and third volume should not have been translated. It's just too much stuff that confuses the reader, especially the foreign reader. And but at the same time, it's something that, as a translator, I also welcome, because it was an unbelievable, almost a medieval pastiche of impossible stories. And it's like he's daring his reader. And now, on the next page, you are not going to believe what I'm going to write. So he's daring. He is experimenting. There is this, I don't care, je m'en fiche, this is incredible what he's doing there. Now, this is the difference between a writer like Šimečka, who is not going into this crazy stuff like our late good friend. So I had doubts how this would be received by the readers in, let's say, United States or England, but nevertheless, I decided to do that, even though remuneration was not even close for these three books, close to what I got for that small Šimečka's book, right? So this is something that I have to think about, because if I do something, I want to be sure that it's worthwhile translating basically. And if it is very worthwhile translating, I would do that for free. But at the same time, this was a tremendous amount of work, three books, right? And so, you know, you want to get some remuneration, and it was a modest remuneration, let's put it this way. And possibly because the books did not sell that well. Well, we should have stayed with the number one. That's what it is. I'm looking at it from a commercial point of view, of course, which we always have to, because why is the writer willing to have this book translated? So that he adds something into his autobiography, or is it because he needs money? Every writer needs money, right? It's his profession. He should be paid well if he's a good writer. So those are things that, of course, normally translator doesn't consider. But if you know these people, as I did, I knew Pischanek very well. Every time I went to Slovakia, I spent a lot of time with him. Anyway, I'm very sorry that he ended his life the way he did. And I'm also a little bit angry at him for doing this because of his tremendous talent. And that pains me.
It is very, very sad. And certainly the part one of Rivers of Babylon is really a great work, and now universally agreed to be the seminal work of the Slovak literature of the 1990s. And he's actually, the way he was described as a Rabelaisian. I think that the next translation project that he embarked on was very different. William Klimáček's Horúce leto 68, the hot summer of 1968, which you completed recently and which will be published by Mandelvilla Press in June this year. So could you say a few words about this book? How is that different from Piščanek and why you chose to translate it? And also, why did it take so long to appear? Because in Slovak it appeared 10 years ago. So did you not have time for it before, or was it hard to find a publisher?
Oh, I think it's the last. It was the hunt for a publisher, I think, because I've done it, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years ago, and I don't know why it took so long.
Can you tell us about William Klimaček's book?
Well, Klimaček, he's a consummate artist. He's a very rare type of a writer. Everything he does is well done. It's very smooth. And it was a pleasure to translate that book. It wasn't a headache as sometimes Piščanek's was. So it was actually relatively easy to translate that. And what made it also a pleasant work for me is that it dealt with a topic very close to my heart. Namely, it describes people who emigrate. So. Klimaček was writing about 1968, right? And this is something that we lived through. And again, also, what it feels like to leave your homeland and find yourself in a different place and the survival in such a different place. And I think that Klimaček has done his job, and not his own experience, but he managed to contact quite a few people who became sort of the models for his fictional personages.
Well, let's hope when the book comes out in June that it has good reviews and that it sells well. And when now this is over, so what are your other plans? Are you translating something at the moment, or is there a book that you would like to translate by a Slovak writer if you can find a publisher for it?
Well, of course, the publisher is always the big problem, you know. It's let's not kid ourselves, it's a smaller East European literature, not as well known as Polish. Even let's say Croatian and Serbian authors fare a little bit better than Slovak, right? For some reason, because perhaps because they have such a large group of emigres living in different countries compared to us Slovaks. So there's very few people, you know. There's the old Slovak Canadians, but they came from a different milieu. Those are not sort of urban dwellers. Those are people who came in the 30s and 40s because the hunger pushed them out from their villages, and then they had to find some place here in Canada to survive. So that's what it is.
And so have you got a particular book in mind that you would like to translate?
Actually, I don't. This is for the first time where I'm actually no idea what I should be doing. And it's not an easy undertaking, right? Because somebody has to publish it. But what about a book which is considered to be great by Slovak literary critics and which would deserve to be published? Unfortunately, most recently, I have not been in touch, haven't seen a book like that, but nobody sends me anything like that. And this is the second year that I'm not going to Slovakia. I badly want to, but it's this bloody COVID that's stopping me. Otherwise, I would be there already now.
It's the longest that I've gone without going back to Slovakia. In the past few years, I've been going 3, 4, sometimes 5 times a year. And now The last time I went was November 2019, so it's over a year since I've been anywhere, actually. But I thought maybe this would be the first podcast in which we wouldn't talk about COVID, but it's unavoidable. So let's hope that the situation changes, maybe if not this summer, that next year we shall both be able to go to Slovakia, pick up some new books, and in the meantime, that the hot summer of 1968 is well received, and maybe that it will encourage other publishers to publish more Slovak writers.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Peter Petro, for talking to me, and good luck with everything.
You are very welcome, and I enjoyed your company.